for the Liberty Hunt, Independence Hunt, it's also called. It's deer hunters with physical disabilities. And there's a club, a hunt club in Wolverine that hosts this every year. And this year they had 42 hunters that went, and they all had guides with them, and they helped them try to get a deer. And then we hosted a lunch. Many of you helped Wednesday night set up tables and chairs. I really appreciate the ladies that prepared food. We had chili and soup and baked potatoes and salads and desserts. We sent them each with a little snack bag for the afternoon hunt, because they're going back out to hunt. So we had some beef sticks and cheese and candy bars in there, and then a gospel tract in each one of the little snack bags. So we gave that to everyone, just had a great time. They were very appreciative of our church hosting. I don't know how long we've done this, I think about 10 years. And the Lord is just blessed with the just connections with the people, some believers, some unbelievers that were here. And so that was a privilege to have that ministry yesterday here at the church. Acts chapter 1, we're just getting started. Last week was our first week into Acts, the book of Acts. And so today we'll be in verses 6 through 11, where we see in this text about keeping the main thing the main thing. I think sometimes we, especially as men, we're easily distracted. Like, let's say you've invited someone to come over to your house, or maybe a family, or maybe your relatives. Someone is coming over to your house. So what do you have to do? You have to get the house ready for company, right? You got to get the house ready for company. And if you're like me, Michelle will look out. She's feverishly, you know, cleaning the house, and the girls are cleaning, and she'll look out, and I'll be trimming the trees in the front, because, you know, when people pull up, you want the trees to be well trimmed. And she's like, if you would just vacuum the living room rug, that would be probably a better use of time, or maybe the table could be set. I can think of even getting out some paint to paint the trim around the garage door, because you wouldn't want people to see your peeling garage door paint. So sometimes we can get distracted. In our passage today, we see Jesus give his disciples instructions on the main thing they are to be about. So they're going to be, as we read the book of Acts, we'll see them establishing churches, appointing deacons, they're figuring out guidelines for the church services, but the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So what is the main thing? And that's what we'll talk about here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together to worship you. We can remember the Lord's death for sinners like us. Father, thank you that we have this word from you in our language. We can hold it in our hands. Help us today as we read and think about the teaching from these verses in Acts chapter 1. And may we, as your Christians, as your representatives in this world, may we keep the main thing the main thing. In Jesus' name, amen. So look what the disciples here, you'll see, first of all, there's a misunderstanding about the main thing. So when they had come together, this is the disciples, they come to Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Much of Jesus' teaching was about life in the kingdom, right? I mean, he told them it would be after his death and resurrection. They believed it was Jesus the Lord who would set them free from Rome. They believed the Messiah would come and would defeat the kingdoms of the world and establish his own kingdom, and that was true, that Jesus was the Messiah, and he would defeat the enemies in the world. But that was not what was to happen first. They were hoping he would restore the kingdom to the way it was in the time of Solomon, where there was peace and prosperity throughout Israel. Could it be now? Could it be now? Is this the time you're going to establish the kingdom? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He says to them, basically, that's above your pay grade to know when the kingdom will be established. We have other things to focus on right now. As for the kingdom, God has many more people to invite in and to gather in. And that, as the Lord says, maybe Jesus even has in mind Isaiah 49, verse 6. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation, get ready for this, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The prophecy in Isaiah, where the Lord speaks to his people and he says, you are going to be a light for me. I want you to be the ones to take my salvation to the end of the earth. This light, this guiding light that believers are to take. I saw Wayne Stahl yesterday. He's recovering from his second hip surgery in just a matter of weeks. And so he had the one side done, now he's had the other side done, and he's getting up and getting around. But I remember Wayne, for a couple of years, had a rescue boat. Do you remember about that? That he had the, if you were out on Burt Lake or Mullet Lake, or I think even out in the Great Lakes, and let's say you run out of gas, or your battery dies, or somehow you're stranded out in the lake, you could call a number, and Wayne would get a call, and he would hook up, well, his boat was already hooked up, but he'd rush that out, and he'd go out there. Well, this usually happens at night. That's usually when you have problems that you need to call emergency services. And so Wayne, he was telling me there was a call he was on, and the person's, their boat was dead in the water. And he said, I had him on the phone, and I said, I'm coming your direction, but I don't know exactly where you are. So I'm going to come. I've got all these lights on my boat. When you see the lights coming, just tell me, you know, a little to the left, a little to the right, kind of guide me in to where you are, and I can come and rescue you. And this was the job that he did for those last couple summers. So if you can imagine, here you're out there, you're stranded in the water, and here comes the light. It's coming across the lake, and you're saying, okay, a little to the right, a little, no, okay, too far to the right, a little more to the left, you're almost here. It's this light that was coming to rescue the people that are in need. So the kingdom of God is expanding. It's going to expand far beyond the land of Israel. And the disciples will be the first lights sent out to go into the world and bring people in to the kingdom. They are going to guide. They're sent by Jesus to guide the nations into his kingdom, that his salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That's Isaiah 49, verse 6. So I've got to do this here. Just jump right down to verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I have to here. He says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's exactly the way Isaiah says it, to the end of the earth. You're going to take my salvation to the end of the earth. And as Isaiah had prophesied, here Jesus is speaking to his disciples saying, that's your job. This is what you are going to do. The kingdom is starting, but it's not yet. There are more people need to be brought in. And they're not just from Jerusalem and Israel, but from the end of the earth. Go. And take this message about me and about salvation and about my kingdom and proclaim it to the ends of the earth. So he's clearing up their misunderstanding. Second, the means. So how will we do this? Well, the means is here in verse 8, as we saw, the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's not for you to know when the kingdom is going to be finally and fully established, but what you need is the power of God, the Holy Spirit power. This is the same word we see used of Jesus when he performed miracles in his ministry. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. Verse 5 said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit This is what they will need. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is not to exalt yourself. Oh, look how good I am now at whatever. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give you power to be a witness for Christ. It's to empower your witness. This morning, I ironed my shirt. I iron a shirt every Sunday morning. My mom taught me right before I went to Bible college. My mom taught me how to iron, and I don't mind doing it. I've ironed dresses for Michelle and the girls, and I iron. Just so you know, I got some tricks. I know how to iron. When you're in college, though, you don't really iron. You just put a sweater on, you know, and go, boy, it's too hot out. That's all right, you know. So, but there have been more than one occasion where I've been ironing away and can't get those wrinkles out, and I look over and the iron is unplugged. And you can keep pressing that all you want, and you're not going to get those wrinkles out. You know, spray it with some water, nothing's going to happen because you're unplugged from the power. And here, Jesus is saying to them, you need to get plugged in. You need the power. Your own power is not enough. To reach the world for the kingdom of God, no one is strong enough and wise enough and talented enough to do that. But with God's power, all things are possible. And the disciples go out. Remember, these are fishermen, right? There's a tax collector. These aren't people who were trained in how to be gospel witnesses. They just were saved by Christ and then empowered by His Spirit. That was the means of their ministry. Third, the message. What's the message? The means is the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the message? Well, that verse says, you will be my witnesses. Isn't that great? Just, you're going to be someone who testifies about what you saw. That's a witness. We're going to call a witness to testify as to what they saw. Ricky flew down to Florida right before the hurricane went through, Hurricane Milton, right? And he wrote it out. It was at their house. He was there. He comes back and we ask him, what was it like? What was there damage to your house? What about outside? Or, you know, were there sharks swimming on your street? You know, these things that we hear about. But he can tell you because he was there. He's an eyewitness to the hurricane, at least in its effects in Lakeland, where he's from. He and Denise are from. He's a witness. He's an eyewitness. That's what you have in these disciples. They are witnesses of Jesus to his miracles, to his teaching, to the way he talked to them and explained the kingdom of God to them. So these illustrations that he used about being the bread of life or being a shepherd or being a door, the disciples were there and he taught them and explained, and then he sends them out as witnesses. The disciples were called to be witnesses to what they saw and heard of Jesus being God's beloved Son. He healed and forgave sins. He fulfilled the law. He died on the cross and rose again. They were witnesses. And in that, they told what they saw and heard from Christ. Their witness in speech and in writing is the foundation of the church. What they saw and what they wrote is the foundation of the church. And the central content of their message is Jesus. That's the message. They're witnesses to Jesus and who He is. It's the one that we need. It's who we need. The Spirit's power was focused on one thing, giving their testimony for Christ. That's what they were to do. Now, did they help people who were poor along the way? They did. Did they serve and take care of those with needs? They did. They started churches and they ordained elders and deacons. They did all of those things. They observed communion. But their main thing was to be witnesses about Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who will save you. Jesus is the one who will change your life. Jesus is the one who will go with you through whatever storm you are facing. He is who we need to know. And that was their message. You will be my witnesses. Someone has said, the less we talk about Jesus, the less power we have. Because we can talk about a lot of different things that seem really important to us, but are we talking about the most important one, about Jesus? And where will they do this? What was the magnitude of this commission? The magnitude is, take a look at this. It's in Jerusalem. That's where they were. That's the capital, right? That's where Jesus was crucified, just outside the city. But here they are in Jerusalem, and that's where they will start. The message of Jesus, the message that has changed your life, who you share that with needs to be the people closest to you first. He says, in Jerusalem, and then it's going to expand to Judea. That would be a larger area. Samaria is a little farther out beyond that. And then to the end of the earth. Can I tell you something really cool about the Bible here? This is really an outline to the book of Acts. The book of Acts plays out just in the way that Jesus said for them to witness. Because it starts in Jerusalem, and then it starts to move out, Judea, Samaria, and then before you know it, Paul is going to the end of the earth. He's going out to Rome. He wants to go to Spain. The gospel is just is expanding out. And we get here an outline of the book of Acts. And if you're a nerd like me, you think that's cool. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. And then that's just what happens as the story of Acts goes on. Here, this echoes the covenant God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. In you, Abraham, through your line, all families of the earth will be blessed. And there it is again, this worldwide vision that God has for salvation. We read in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You know that that's God's desire, is that the world be saved? He so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's why we support missions and missionaries, and we have a cup, a coffee cup that's, I don't know, half full or so of coins. We've been putting them in there this year, and we're going to bring it in and dump it back. By the way, you're doing a really good job. That thing is getting, it's starting to get some weight to it. We put it in there so no one can run off with it. You know, it'd be hard to steal like a big jug of, you'd make too much noise. We'd see you. So, yeah, keep putting your coins in there. Why do we do that? Because we love missionaries. Because we love people who are going to the end of the earth to try to get this message of Jesus to the world. Back to Psalm 67, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's what we did this morning. We're one of the nations. We're fulfilling this prophecy of Psalm 67 this morning as we sing praises and there's gladness in our hearts for who God is. Our missionaries serving around the world. We have Ted Joles in the UP. We have Mrs. Cottle with Bibles International. The Gottfrieds ministering to international students at Purdue. The Garibaldis translating and printing gospel materials for Spanish-speaking people. The Rybchenkos in Turkey. The Demerlys are overseeing missionaries in Europe, Central Asia, North Africa. The Miskimmins are all the way in Thailand, making disciples and teaching people to be disciple makers to the Far East nations. This is the magnitude of the gospel is for the world. Way out here in America and wherever else that God sends missionaries. That's the magnitude. And here Jesus is with his 11 disciples and saying, you guys are the start of this. You're the beginning. You take this With the power of my Spirit, you're going to go to the world. Can you imagine them? They're going, there's 11 of us. And we've been like fishing and tax collecting, and we don't even know what these guys do. And Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses with the power of my Spirit. Go to the world. What's their motivation? This is point number five. You can't have more than 5 points in a sermon. So this is point five. What's the motivation? The motivation that they are given is that Jesus ascends into heaven in a cloud, and he's coming back. He's coming back. And that's what the angels appear next to them. Verse 9, when he said these things, as they were looking, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And here you have these eyewitnesses to Jesus, to his majesty, to rising into the heavens in a cloud. So I got to get a couple things here for you. So five times in these last verses, 9, 10, 11, five times we see words telling us they saw. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus. Five times, five references to this, that they saw him as they were looking. He arose out of their sight. And we see that this, what they are going to do and where they are going to go and what they're going to say is all based on this person that they watched ascend into the clouds. And Jesus going into the clouds is very messianic. It's very much the Old Testament coming right here together into the New Testament. We know from Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man, he came with the clouds of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 26, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. It was the glory of God in a cloud that filled the Old Testament temple and covered the disciples when they were praying on the mountain with Jesus. The cloud of God's glory came and covered them. And we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with the sound of the trumpet of God, and we will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So verse 10, while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes, just like the angels at the tomb of Jesus were clothed in this way. And what did they say? Just stick with me for about five more minutes. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Men of Galilee. Why does he call them that? Why does the Bible record they're men of Galilee? Well, they weren't men of Jerusalem. In a sense, these are Jewish men, but they're outsiders. They're not from Jerusalem, where the Pharisees were, and the Sadducees. They're from Galilee. They're from the fishing villages, don't you know? In fact, when Nicodemus tried to defend Jesus, the Pharisees sneered at them in John chapter 7 and said, are you from Galilee too? Nicodemus says, wait, we need to consider the Old Testament and what Jesus is saying. And the Pharisees said, are you from Galilee or what? We don't care about, there's no great prophet from Galilee. Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. And yet, these are unlikely messengers, and God is going to work through them. It won't be their own credentials. It will be the Spirit of God in these men of Galilee who will go and turn the world upside down for God's kingdom. In fact, it doesn't matter that these are, quote, common, uneducated men from outside of Jerusalem. They're the ones who will take the message of Christ. Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's how he will return. He's coming back in a cloud with power and great glory. So why do you stand looking into heaven? I think the angels are saying, he's not coming back right away, and he's given you other things to do besides standing. Wow. Maybe they thought he was going to go and come right back. And the angel says, no, you have work to do until he returns. And I think this can apply to us as well. Moments of high spiritual experience are never ends in themselves. That when you and I have a time of worship where you're filled up in your heart, and maybe you experience a unity with the church and or another believer, and you've talked together, or prayed together, cried together, and you feel lifted up. That's wonderful. That's a blessing from God. But God wants you to go from there and serve him. We're not intended to just stay in this constant place of praising God. We praise him, and then we serve him. And then we praise him some more, and we serve him. He says, why are you standing staring into heaven? The gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations before the Lord will return. So as much as we love spending time in worship and time in fellowship with each other, we must continue the mission Christ left for his disciples. We're to be his representatives. So how can we advance the gospel? Three ways to advance the gospel. Share it. You ask God for opportunity and the strength and the wisdom, and go for it. Go for it. We're going to stumble. I can tell you, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, I'm not good at sharing the gospel. Not one-on-one. It's very difficult for me. But we try. We try to tell someone what Jesus has done for us. Second, we pray. And we ask God to bless and ask God to help open eyes and open hearts, open doors for us to talk to someone, inviting them to church, sharing with them a tract. If you're witnessing online, do it graciously. I know it's easy when you're online to just thumb out some quick response or type out some quick response on something. Do it graciously. Season it with salt and grace. Third, you can support missions, missionaries, advancing the gospel, those who are taking the gospel to the end of the earth. So this is my charge to you this week. Be part of advancing the gospel to the end of the earth. Somehow, if it's you sharing it, if it's you going, if it's you praying or supporting someone who is doing this, be part of advancing the gospel to the end of the earth. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your grace. I thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to empower missions, that it's not all up to us in our own stumbling, stammering ways. But give us wisdom. Please give us opportunities to share this good news, to be witnesses of our Savior Jesus, that more people may be saved, more people may come into your kingdom. Father, if there's anyone listening this morning and they have not yet trusted in Christ, may today be that day. They turn from sin and believe in who Jesus is and what he has done for them. Father, may we be a church that has a heartbeat for missions and missionaries, that we may see the gospel spread to the end of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.